We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Twitch and YouTube wants to see Whitey.
Come on over here, Whitey, say hello.
What's up, Windy City?
Afternoons on the Score.
Thank you guys for coming. It's good to see everybody. Just want to say there's an energy in this building this week with all the players coming back. They got back last Monday, so it's good to see some familiar faces, get caught up with them, get to see some new faces, get to know them a little bit more. But that energy also is because of the draft this week, so we get a chance to add a few more players to this roster that we're excited about.
It's that guy, Williams.
It'll be that guy Williams with the number one pick. Anthony Herron is in for Spiegs. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Real talk. Where's Spiegs?
He is flying back from California. He goes out. He goes out there for Passover.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So traveling back today. Did the Seder yesterday. So.
And Rosenberg's laughing. By the way, happy Passover to Al. And for all of our Jewish friends, we know this is the start of Passover. The Seders will start tonight. And be safe when you drive home from wherever you're spending that Seder.
It's good advice. It really is. So this is everything else. That was all the stuff that Ryan Poole said about Caleb. Oh, okay. This is everything else that mattered. Thought process, trading back, if he's cool with only having four picks in this draft, etc.
Right, I'm sure you guys have identified how many blue players you all feel are available at positions of need if you're in the top nine. And just because you all have the ninth pick, that's probably the most likely scenario that you pick there. But what would be the second most likely option? Would that be to move up for a guy you guys absolutely love or to fall back and get one of those guys?
Yeah, that's hard to answer right now. I think as the draft unfolds, there's going to be some indicators that kind of start to educate us on how we need to move. To acquire the top talents in this draft.
If a trade back does kind of become the scenario, is there a threshold where you go, okay, this is too far back to move? We want to kind of stay in this range. Is there a range for you?
Yeah, as I've said in the past, like, we need to count, you know, the players in certain ranges, and that's, you know, we would feel uncomfortable if we got outside of whatever threshold that is. So again, it's kind of depends on the first couple picks and how they move, and we'll kind of count them up and say, you know what, here's the line. We can't go past that.
Do you feel a need to add more picks going in with only four?
No, I feel really good at where we're at. If that happens, that's great. If we have less, that's whatever we need to do to kind of accomplish what we're setting out to do and improve our football team.
What do you think the biggest area of needs are still on this team?
The nice thing is from the work that we've done, I feel pretty good about just being flexible. That's why we did that project with kind of some premium positions, with O-line, with D-line, receiver, and all that feedback was outstanding. Like, it gave you a really good feeling. Like, there's different championship caliber teams that have built their teams in different ways. And it really, I think, solidified just those premium positions are important. So that I'd say, like, those three are there. It matches up with this draft pretty well.
Ryan, there's a lot fewer underclassmen declaring now than there were, like, 5-6 years ago. How much of that influences your comfort with having four picks and also the comfort to move some of the picks that you did to get Bates and Keenan and the guys that you did?
Yeah, I think we both feel comfortable with how the board set based off of the draft class. Each year is different, right? This year, I think there were I want to say 58 juniors that declared. To your point, like, each year's different, so we kind of have to work in the constructs of this year with what we have given to us.
How do you all balance the subject? Is the idea of having so few picks, is that, how much does the strength of the current roster play into your comfort level with having that number of picks versus your first couple of years you needed a lot of picks?
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft, and then moving forward what next year looks like as well.
When you evaluate your needs at defensive line, how do you weigh the impact of a defensive tackle versus an end? And you said, you know, different teams build it different ways. Was part of your evaluation at that position, okay, who did it by going inside first versus getting an edge rusher first?
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. Generally speaking, I would say the inside guy has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything. And it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up. So,
Brian, are you able to share how many first round grades that you guys have? And then I guess, like, how do you delineate when you use a top 10 pick outside of the first pick? Like, what does that player have to have to use in order for you to use the ninth pick?
Yeah, I mean, they got to impact the football team from a skill set standpoint. But we always are going to look at some key things when we talk about passion for the game. We talk about coachability, dependability, resilience. Those things are going to be consistent from the first overall pick to, you know, seventh round draft pick. Like, we want guys that have that. We have an indicator we put on their tag. We put a bear head on their tag because, you know, we call them the grizzly, the top bear. They have those traits. So we're always looking to hit those. And obviously the earlier, you know, in the draft, you want to have those. The other thing, too, is, you know, we had a good conversation with the Hall of Famer that is one of Ian's mentors. And he said you want the guys in that first round to be the cover of your album. You know, you want those to be the one where everyone can look to that player and be like, all right, what he's made of is what we all need to be a part of. So that's important as well.
In the evaluation process, how do you balance a scenario where maybe you have an opportunity to get the third best prospect at one position versus getting the top prospect at another position?
Say that one more time for me.
Maybe you can get the third best receiver. Maybe you can get the top defensive lineman on your board. How do you balance going about that process in terms of making that decision?
Yeah, that'll come down to all the characteristics that we look like, the skill set, the whole person. We have this long process. Ian and I sit down. We actually sequence the board, one through whatever it is this year, 200, whatever, could be less than that. And we sequence it to kind of sort that part out. So you work your stacks vertically, and then you work horizontal, and you work down the board that way.
That was really interesting. He's a really smart guy. I'm not at all going to pretend like he has tipped his hand there. But that album cover answer, like, about, he's talked so much about getting a blue player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says he groups players. And so if they have four blue players and they're with the ninth pick, that would suggest that he would be comfortable trading down to 12 because you could get a blue player at 9, 10, 11, or 12. That would be four, right? So you want to take the highest graded player you can with the lowest possible pick so that you can accumulate more assets. Like, I understand the philosophy. But if he's like, you got to get the guy that's going to be on the cover of the album, I don't think he's trading down. I don't think he's trading up. Mm. I'd be a little surprised if he gave up next year's first round pick. But I think that Byron Murphy or Rome Odunze, or maybe Brock Bowers, but like, those would be my three. That I'd be like, I think those are going to be the guys that at least one, if not two of them, are going to be there, and it could be all three, are there at nine, and he'll take them. He's going to get a guy for the cover of the album.
Now, if Roman Dunze is not there, then the other names you mentioned that would likely be on the board there, but you know, Byron Murphy, I think in a lot of years, I don't view him as a definitive top 10 pick, but he might be the first defensive player off the board this year because he is the best interior defensive lineman. Same with a guy like Jared Verse is my favorite true all-around defensive end. He's not a guy who I say like surefire top 10 caliber pick. Brock Bowers, because of his position, I would make a similar case about. He's the best tight end in the draft, but he's a tight end. So when you're already deep at tight end, do you want to spend a top 10 pick on a tight end? That's where I think that trading down is still a very viable option, because if it's Roman Dunze, then yeah, that's a value that you say that's a talent worthy of a top 10. But if a Dunze is not there, if Neighbors doesn't fall or something like that, then, you know, like Alt, if Alt is there, okay, that's a tackle. It's top 10 value in his evaluation. But if it's one of these other guys, all right, the best defensive end in the draft, maybe isn't a top 10 pick caliber guy. Best interior defensive lineman might not be that caliber of prospect.
Yeah, but then you're going to need someone who's willing to trade up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, who are they trading up for?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if no one's willing to trade up, then that's different. Then you got to pick somebody. So, yeah, you pick the best player who's there, who fits you.
Yeah.
That's where Dallas Turner, I don't think, fits the Bears' scheme that well, even though he's the highest ceiling pass rusher in the draft coming off the edge. I just don't necessarily think he fits the Bears' scheme.
All right, so Verse, obviously you know infinitely more about defensive line play than I do. Scares me the profile of he's just older than everybody and stronger than everybody. Mm. Like how much of it is he's 4 years older than a 19-year-old sophomore and he bull rushes him because he's an adult and that guy's a child and you're not going to be able to do that in the NFL.
I mean, I think that matters, but he does have a more well-rounded toolbox than just being a power rusher. He can, you know, he's not as explosive with his speed as Chop Robinson, but he does have finesse speed moves as well. He's a well-rounded pass rusher. He can play true defensive end, but he is also a guy who I don't see as a definitive lock top 10 value in his evaluation. He just happens to be the guy I think is the best true defensive end in this draft, which the Bears run a four down even front. They need a true defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, it feels to me like he's pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he'll be a bad player. Like, he's got a high floor. But,
yeah,
but
number nine probably isn't the best value getting a Jared Verse.
Yeah. That would.
But for every defensive end in this draft, that's pretty much the same evaluation.
So take offense. So take a guy that'll help Caleb.
So if Odunze is gone, though, like if all three receivers are already gone.
Then take a tackle. Then upgrade your offensive line.
Yeah.
Or take Bowers.
If it's not Alt.
I mean, I trust that Ryan Poles, he's good at drafting offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey. He's got a pretty long track record of selecting, not that he was the top decision maker in Kansas City, but he was the former offensive lineman who was the director of college scouting when they made those draft picks. Like He's got a pretty long track record of successful offensive line. Just take the highest graded offensive player on your board at nine.
Yeah, I mean, if the quarterbacks are all the top guys are going high and then all the receivers are coming off the board, there's going to be really good players who get pushed down. So if Joe Alt gets pushed down, to me that's a good top 10 value at number nine. If not that, then it's going to feel like a bit of a reach. If Alt isn't the guy who's there, if Odunze isn't the guy who's there, it's going to feel to me like a little bit of a reach if they don't trade down. But yeah, if you don't have a trade partner, you take the best player who's there, and it's still going to be a really good player, just maybe somebody who you could have gotten outside the top 10 if you found a trade partner.
All right, we got a lot more to get into, how they're going to develop this guy. I want to talk a little NBA playoffs. It's been absolutely insane theater, but you have the unique ability, Anthony Herron. He's not going to be a Bear, but he will be a first-round pick. It's endlessly fascinating, and you are going to scout for us the white corner.
Ooh.
It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.